was the notice time for the hearing. It is now 9:02. The petitioner in this matter, based on the pre-hearing submissions, it looks like there's maybe three petitioners. We had Dazai Fu LLC, Kim D. Maverick LLC, and Hammer Advantage LLC. Mr. Stevens, all three of those are jointly petitioning in this?
That's correct, Mr. Examiner. Yes.
And I presume that they are all jointly petitioning because they are all property owners abutting the proposed vacation area in some manner.
Yes, they have a proportional interest of ownership in the abutting property.
Okay, and so we have Dana Carlisle here. We have three LLCs. I presume that you're as the Secretary of State lists these things these days, you are a governor of one of the LLCs, is that correct?
That's correct.
And which one is that?
Dazai Fu LLC.
Okay. I'll ask you in just a minute under oath, but I presume that you have been given authority from all three petitioners to act in a representative capacity today. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right, and I'll ask you that under oath in just a minute too, just so it's all sewn up and formal like it needs to be. Mr. Stevens, you are the city's representative then today?
I am, Mr. Examiner.
Okay, and you don't have any other witnesses that you're planning on putting on besides yourself for the city's part, is that correct?
That's correct.
All right. Ms. Carlisle, you don't have any other witnesses that you're planning on putting on for the petitioners, is that correct?
I do not.
Okay. All right, so how this would typically work then is that per-hearing examiner rule, even though the city is not party that bears the burden of proof in a street vacation proceeding, the city goes first and presents essentially all its information that it has background in receiving the petition, processing the petition, analyzing the petition for whether it, from the city staff perspective, qualifies for approval for vacating the proposed right-of-way area or not. In looking at the city's pre-hearing submissions, it looks like the city is on board with recommending approval for it. I will note that final approval of street vacations doesn't come from city staff, doesn't come from me either. The street vacations are considered a legislative matter in the state of Washington, and therefore the city's legislative body has to act on it. And that's the city council, not any of us here in the room today. But state law allows the city council to delegate the conduct of the required public hearing to a hearing officer, and that's me. And so I conduct the hearing, and then I make findings of fact, conclusions of law that are part of a recommendation that goes to the city council on the way to that body making its decision. But back to normal presentation, the city presents. City only has one witness. It's not represented by the council, so we'll just present in narrative fashion. Ms. Carlisle, you as a petitioner, if you have cross-examinations for the city, you would be able to ask those. I'm guessing we may not have any of that today, but you do have the right to cross-examine. Then we would move to the petitioner's presentation of its case. I will note, because it's probably going to come into play here fairly heavily, the petitioner is allowed to rely on any evidence that's presented. So everything that the city would have presented, everything that the city has presented, assuming it's submitted in written form, petitioner can rely on. The petitioner does bear the burden of proof to show by what's called a preponderance of the evidence that the requirements for vacating public right-of-way have been met. Burden of proof by a preponderance of the evidence means essentially showing that it's more likely than not that all of the factors and facts that you're presenting or relying on for the street vacation to be approved are in fact true. Once the city is presented and the petitioner is presented, we normally then move to the public testimony portion of the hearing. Members of the public, because a street vacation petition contemplates the relinquishment of the public's right in the designated vacation area of the right-of-way, the public has the opportunity to offer testimony about that. So far, we've got nobody online from the public. We've got nobody in council chambers for the public. If no one shows up, then we don't go out and grab people off the street and bring them in. So we would not do that. Normally, once the public has testified, both the city and the petitioner have the opportunity for rebuttal, and that's usually to address things that come up in the public testimony portion, although from the city's standpoint, because it goes first, the city could have some rebuttal to things that the petitioner presents if that happens. Now, all that being said, we have no members of the public here today. When we do, the city's presentation is very much desirable and necessary to inform those members of the public as to everything that's happened to this point. And that informs, hopefully, better informs the things that they might say during the public testimony portion of the hearing. Nobody's here. Nobody to inform. As Mr. Stevens knows, he does not need to read in his preliminary report or anything that's in the written record for it to be part of the record, assuming that it's made part of the record. And we'll get to that in just a moment. Probably should have done it first, I suppose, but no matter. When there's nobody here, since there's nobody to inform, if the city doesn't have anything else to make part of the record other than what it's already submitted in writing, we can just cut to the chase. It doesn't have any greater weight by having been verbally referred to when it's in the written record. If it's in the record, it's in the record. So that's kind of where I think we're maybe headed today. Any questions about what I've said thus far?
No questions.
No questions.
All right, great. Thank you for making those answers audible. I saw the head shaking on the video screen before the audible answers, but it's kind of imperative that we have both the video and the audio record for these things, just in case. So prior to today's hearing, the city submitted proposed exhibits for the hearing. And those have been marked C for city 1 through 18. We have maps and prior deeds and all those kinds of things. Then we have a whole bunch of responses from the various city departments and divisions that are asked to weigh in on whether they have any reservations about vacating the proposed vacation area. And that's the bulk of the exhibits. Ms. Carlisle, I presume for the petitioner's part, Mr. Stevens provided you with a copy of those exhibits, C1 through C18?
Yes, he did.
Do you have any objection to those exhibits being admitted and made part of the record for today?
No objections.
Okay. And Ms. Carlisle, I don't think that my office received any proposed exhibits from the petitioners. Is that correct?
It's exhibit C4.
Right. Well, some of what the city submitted, they got from the petitioners, right? And that's you're saying C4 is one of those. Petitioner memo stands.
Yes, it is.
Stands to reason that came from the petitioners. But no objection to those being admitted, made part of the record then?
No objections.
You have a motion for me?
I do. Mr. Examiner, the city requested that you admit city's exhibits C1 through C18 into the record.
That motion will be granted. C1 through C18 are admitted and made part of the record. In a more involved proceeding, I would note that those exhibits now can be freely referred to by both sides. And if we were taking testimony, and we may still be, I don't know. If the parties would like those put up on the screen when they're being referred to, I can do that. I think that takes care of all of our preliminary procedural matters, except for, again, and just stating that we don't have anybody in council chambers, we don't have anybody from the public online. It's just the parties. We have a written record now, C1 through C18 admitted. It is part of the record. I'm going to have one or two questions, just sort of real picky minutia for Mr. Stevens. Mr. Stevens, are you ready to make the city's presentation?
I am, Mr. Examiner.
Okay. Well, why don't I swear you in just so what anything you're about to say will be under oath. Do you swear and affirm that the testimony you're about to give or refer to or whatever will be the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
I do.
Go ahead.
Mr. Examiner, the city is prepared to make an oral presentation for the audio record, which will restate information contained in its previously submitted preliminary report and supporting exhibits. However, we have no additional facts or information to present today, except for one small correction that I need to make. And the only persons in attendance are parties to the matter. The petitioner was served a copy of the preliminary report and exhibits via email on April 30th, 2025, as Mr. Examiner has already mentioned, and the city will forego making a formal presentation today. I am happy to answer any questions you may have.
Okay, I do have just a couple. I am looking at Exhibit C2. And it's still C2, it looks like. I'm looking at the aerial photo that was submitted.
Yes, Mr. Examiner.
And it shows kind of an arrow and a dotted line area along Prospect and also along 6th. This is actually in the...
In
the fringe areas of both 6th and Prospect, right?
That is correct.
These aren't alleyways or anything like that. It's actual kind of...
That's right.
It would be the westernmost edge there, and for 6th, it would be the northernmost.
It'd be the east, the most easterly.
East.
Yes. Sorry, two-tenths of a foot on Prospect and the 1.2 on 6th Avenue.
Okay. And the encroachments we're dealing with, is this building footprint or these overhangs? What are we talking
about? It's literally, and Ms. Carlisle confirmed, but it's my understanding, it's literally the building, like the exterior, you know, the brick, the building,
so
it's the building itself.
The building footprint foundation was actually built slightly encroaching into the right of way of both these streets.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. And it's been that way since a long time, right?
That's right. Yes.
It's been there.
That's right. So as Ms. Carlisle knows, this came out because the city is proposing to do some road work along 6th Avenue, and she and her colleagues had the wonderful joy of finding out that a part of their building that they were about to buy was encroaching into the right-of-way.
So building they were about to buy, has it been purchased then?
Yes. So they bought it.
Necessarily mess things up today, because I will take equitable ownership still as being able to represent here in these hearings, but
they purchased it quite a while
ago. LC actually owns it then.
Yeah. Well, the different parties that make up that are listed.
Right. But Ms. Carlisle's
representing
an owner and representing the other owners that are as well, correct?
Yes, and it's my understanding she's the majority, or Daisy Fu is the majority owner too, so. Mr. Examiner, at this time, may I take the liberty of mentioning the one small typographical thing I wanted to mention?
Sure. I've got one or two more questions, but go ahead.
Okay. Just in the off chance that maybe what I'm going to share with you is something that you wanted to bring up. So on exhibit C1, under item E, which is the history on page 2 of the actual preliminary report. The city wants to update or slightly modify its note. We note that while the city acquired the right-of-way for 6th Avenue via DD-1236, the right-of-way dedicated for South Prospect is not contested and was dedicated on the plat of Hawkins Addition to Washington Territories on May 6, 1889, and filed in the records of Pierce County. So I just wanted to distinguish that this Prospect right-of-way is just fine as dedicated on the plat, and it's just the 6th Avenue portion of the property that's going to be vacated that was under the deed.
Okay, so let me make some notes there. And I did, that is one of my, that was one of my questions.
Okay, perfect.
When I read through E, that note, I didn't know what that meant.
Right, and then when I reread in preparation for the hearing, I realized that I needed to clarify for that for you.
Okay, so I'm going to restate here just to make sure. The 6th Avenue right-of-way comes from DD-1, whatever.
1236.
It's hard to, yes. hard to type while I'm looking at the screen. I've just outed myself as a non-no-look typist.
That's right.
I can do it, but not all the time. And certainly not with the right fingers. and then the Prospect Avenue right of way is just as dedicated in the plat that we're referring to in the note.
That's correct. Okay.
Comment boxes in my copy of my hearing notebook yesterday as I was going through it, and none of them saved because my computer likes to blip, as I call it, and just everything resets. And as I was saving that yesterday, it blipped. Let's see. Public notice section, everything was done on March 26th, everything that's listed 1 through 7 there and C, that was all on March 26th?
That's correct.
Okay.
That doesn't usually happen that way, but that's probably what's throwing you, but yes, it
well,
did.
Well, that's why I ask, because sometimes those are sort of, you know, groups.
Staggered. Mm-hmm. The clerk's office and I were just, we had it all tied in together. We were on the same page.
I think that's it then.
All right, excellent.
Ms. Carlisle, do you have any questions of the city?
I do not have any questions of the city, thank you.
Okay, and we do have some members of the public and council chambers now. I'm not gonna rewind for them. The hearing was noticed to start at 9, and that's what we do. Late, things have moved past, but I guess we'll see if there's testimony or if they have questions when we get to that portion. Mr. Stevens, is there anything else that you want to add to the record at this point?
Thank you for asking, Mr. Examiner. I have nothing further.
Okay. That takes us to you, Ms. Carlisle, and I'm going to swear you in at this point. So I do have at least the one question that I mentioned up front. You're going to need to unmute your mic. Do you swear and affirm that any testimony, answers to questions, anything you put on the record today as part of this hearing will be the truth, whole truth, and nothing but the truth under penalty of perjury?
Yes.
All right. So just to go back to that question I asked at the outset then, you are what used to be called a managing member. Now the Secretary of State always refers to everyone as a governor of the petitioner, Dazai Fu LLC, correct?
Yes, I am.
And I'm kind of pronouncing that the Chinese way. If you pronounce it some other way, tell me, and I'll go your way, because it's your LLC.
You're close. It's Japanese, as I feel like.
Ah, okay. Japanese. All right. So you're with Dazaifu, and then the other two LLC petitioners have authorized you to represent all three for purposes of today's hearing. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Is there anything else that you would like to add to the record?
I do not have anything else to add to the record.
Okay. All right, well, that takes us then to the public testimony portion of today's hearing. Visually, it looks like we have two members of the public who are in council chambers today. Are either or both of you wishing to testify? If you could turn the mic on in front of you, that would be, I see you waving, but we need it for purposes of the audio record. If you could hit the mic there in front of you.
No,
no questions or anything? You're not wishing to testify? Okay, well, thanks for being here. If you have questions, we can certainly try to address those, but if there are no questions, that's okay too. Mr. Stevens.
For the benefit of the audience or for the citizens that showed up, one question that I've received a lot in preparation for the hearing is wondering what the vacation was for. And so on the off chance that you were curious what is actually being vacated, it's just these are very tiny slivers to cure, as you maybe you've read in the documentation you picked up when you came in, just a very small area of right-of-way to cure the existing building encroachment. And that's all this is about.
And I will just note for purposes of, you know, the general informational edification, this is not a rare occurrence. Survey work and construction work and all that tries to be as precise as it can, but oftentimes things are, well, human errors happen. And so, you know, these rights of way area, these right of way areas were in existence, I presume, before the buildings were built. But the buildings were intended to be built, you know, right up into the corners of the right of way where Prospect meets up with Sixth, and it missed by just a little bit. And you know, buildings have been there for a long time. You know, we have more precise ways to measure these things in 2025, and these kind of encroachments are sometimes found. For what it is worth, in Washington State, right-of-way, such as Prospect, such as Six, such as virtually all right-of-way areas in a municipality, those are essentially easements that the city holds in trust for the public to use for public transportation, traversal, you know, driving, walking, biking, whatever. The abutting property owners under Washington law still own, they have the underlying ownership interest in that area out to the center line from where their property abuts. So this isn't like the city is necessarily giving something away. It's just sort of giving back a tiny sliver of that ownership, unencumbered from the right-of-way interest because the encroachment happened. And when the city or property owners discover those things, if that right-of-way area isn't being used for any significant public purpose, it makes more sense to just give it back and clean it up. So, hope that helps. It probably was just boring coming from a long-time real property land use nerd like myself. So there you go. There was no public testimony. The petitioner didn't really put anything on. I'm presuming there's no rebuttal to be had from the city or from the petitioner at this point, unless you want to rebut me, which you could do if you want, I suppose.
No, thank you, Mr. Examiner. I have nothing further, and I do appreciate that you shared what you did. So thank you.
All right. Ms. Carlisle, anything to add to the record? One last chance from the petitioners.
Nothing to add to the record. Thank you.
Is there a closing statement from the city?
Thank you, Mr. Examiner, but I have nothing further.
Oh, no See, I remember what my one last question was. I thought I had one other question and I couldn't recall it. On the public benefit side, Mr. Stevens, C1 says it's a public benefit because it resolves building encroachments. I'm a little bit stuck on that because that resolving the building encroachment really just seems to benefit the property owners. How is that a public benefit?
So, Mr. Examiner, great question. Normally, as Mr. Examiner knows, we say that this type of situation returns property to the tax records, but I'm assuming that Desefu and the property owners are already paying the taxes on the building, so I didn't feel comfortable saying that it was necessarily returning this property back to the tax rolls. The way I see this facilitating and being a public benefit is in the future when Desefu or future property owners come in, it will save the city staff energy and resources in not having to address this issue going forward. So by cleaning it up, it's a public benefit because it takes it out of the realm of being a problem and therefore cures any future effort or use of resources that the city would have to expend to manage that situation going forward and in the future.
All right. Well, well stated, I guess, as best it can be.
Thank you.
And, you know, you've probably heard me state it before, Mr. Stevens, I still think it's odd that it's a requirement to find some sort of a public benefit in a process that is inherently relinquishing a public right. It just seems odd to me, but that's the way the TMC reads, that's the way RCW 3579 reads, so... That's what we're stuck with still. All right, so nothing else from the city, nothing else from petitioners. I will just then go over next steps. As I mentioned at the outset, I put together a recommendation that goes to the city council, contains findings of fact, conclusions of law. That will probably be done, well, it will be done within the next 10 business days, so within 2 weeks' time. Once that is done, an electronic version of that will be sent out to city staff, Mr. Stevens, and also to the petitioners, and then it will get scheduled to be heard by the city council in one of their duly convened Tuesday evening meetings. How long that will take to get scheduled is dependent on the city council's schedule. My recommendation issued within the next 2 weeks, it'd probably be at least two more weeks, up to a month before it gets scheduled for council, and then they will act on it at that point. So that is where we're at. I have nothing else then. If there aren't any other questions or things that need to be put on the record, we'll be ready to conclude. City, you're good still?
I'm good. Thank you, Mr. Examiner.
Ms. Carlisle, petitioners are good?
Yes, nothing else.
All right, thank you for being here this morning then. Thanks to our two citizen participants. Without testimony from you or questions from you, not sure why you were here, but you know, glad you were here. It's better to have people here than not. And it looks like you've got a canine companion next to you. And see, now I'm wishing that I had been in council chambers this morning to, anyway. Maybe you wouldn't have wanted me to meet your dog, but I'm kind of a dog guy. So anyway, I will wish you all a good rest of your day then. We'll be concluded and off the record. So.
All right. Thank you. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you.